So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
I got some more ticket texts I want to get to before we switch gears over to the Pistons a little bit. But, of course, you folks can talk about whatever you like. Open lines here, 248-539-9797. Why on earth did we even let Stevie back in the driver's seat? Dude is clearly asleep at the wheel. He's incompetent. Get him out of town ASAP. From an unnamed texter. Wow, you're going to throw that much vitriol. I thought you might want to throw your name out there. I think the sands are running low here for Steve Yzerman and keeping favor with the fan base. And I think a large part of the fan base is started to go in that direction. All I would offer is this. I'm with you on the disappointment, but I'm going to give this a few more weeks and see if they're able to swing a trade of some kind of substance, or maybe they get in and they sign Nikolai Ehlers. I don't know, you know, but I'm waiting for some move because they've got too much cap space not to have that move.
Let me ask you the question here. If this coming season they don't make the playoffs again, do you want to pull the plug on the Yzerman?
I probably would, yeah.
Okay. I agree.
I mean, I'm telling you. My
especially if some of those young guys that you talked about that you want to see don't look so great.
Well, yeah, and I'm getting frustrated and impatient with waiting to see some of those guys. Like Sebastian Kosa in particular, the goaltender who was, you know, he was a first round pick. He's spent plenty of time now playing in various levels below the NHL, and had an opportunity last year. They brought him up like an emergency situation. He finished the game. He got the win, and then Newsy wouldn't play him. He stayed up the next few games, but they didn't play him. Like, what's the harm?
Right now.
Now, I don't know if that was a Derek Lalonde thing or if that came on high from Steve Yzerman and said, don't start this kid. I don't know. But as a fan, I'm like, we got an opportunity here. It's during the regular season, the first part of the season. Why not take a little look-see?
I think one of the really disappointments, and wasn't their fault, was when they brought up Carter Mays and he got injured.
First shift.
Poor guy, that's a guy that is, you know,
that's an energy guy.
An energy guy with some bite, as I like to say, sandpaper. That's what you want to see.
That's the kind of 100%. And that was so disappointing. Literally, like 20 seconds into his shift, he goes over by the boards. And I don't know. I still don't know what really happened there, what he hurt on his body, upper body, lower body, both. It was very disappointing. So he's going to be competing for a roster spot in training camp. He's one of those guys. And we'll see if, you know, what kind of effect that he has. If the Wings want us all to wait till next year for them to improve the roster, then they should just hand out tickets to every single game for free. Why would I pay money to see a team that doesn't want to provide an entertaining product or to try and win? Why even have a team if your goal isn't to win?
Well, the goal is still to win, number one. Number two, it's still a fun night experience down at Little Caesars Arena. And it is the centennial. Look, I understand. If this team, you know, continues to crap the bed, why should people spend money to go see them play unless it's, you know, against a team with a superstar that you want to see?
You know, the more I'm letting this thing marinate, we've been talking about this for a little over an hour now, your point about having McClellan for the whole year or going into the training camp with your head coach.
Search in here.
I think that's something. Like, I don't think that's just, you know, reaching for anything. I think that is something because of what they had going into the last year, going into the season last season with Derek Lalonde. It's night and day difference with Derek Lalonde and Tom McClellan. I mean, Tom McClellan is holding these guys accountable in press conferences. He's holding them accountable on the ice. He's just trying to just go out there and play effing hockey, whatever it is, you know. Yeah. And he's got a track record of being a pretty good NHL head coach instead of taking a chance on another assistant or taking a chance on the guy who had a nice track record at Grand Rapids, whatever the last couple coaches have been. this is a guy who does have a pedigree, and curious about the competition in training camp while you've got this guy who's leading this team. What does that actually mean? Thank you, Stoney, for the Diddy update. I know this is a sports talk station, but I'd rather hear about Diddy verdict than the most aggressively mediocre hockey team in the league. There you go. It's a good little praise for that.
Thank you.
For the little speed bump in the show. 248-539-9797, the telephone number. Daniel is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to bring up that I think Mike was saying, like, who cares if they get in as an 8 seed? They're just going to lose. Well, I'm a big Boston Bruins fan, and 2 years ago, the 8 seed Florida Panthers came back from 3-1 down to beat the Bruins in a series when the Bruins had set the record for most victories ever. And, Mike, you remember Philadelphia was a 7 seed and made it to the finals in 2010.
Right.
The Kings made it as an 8 seed in 2012. Edmonton made it to the finals as an 8 seed in 2006. And, you know, Mike Babcock took Anaheim to the finals. I believe it was him as a 7 seed in 2003.
But the
so
difference.
Why are we so quick to dismiss that you can be low seed and not have success? I just think you got to get in.
I understand that part of it. However, the talent discrepancy that this team has with those other top teams is a lot wider than the instances you gave.
But some of those guys didn't show up until didn't become those players until the playoffs. Now, Tkachuk is different. Right. That's a different type of player.
No, until you get in. Yeah. Could you have predicted? Go back to the Tigers in 2006. Who gave them a chance against the Yankees? Who?
And nobody.
But you got to get in to at least have a chance.
I don't
know why everybody wants to dismiss that. Oh, you're an 8 seed. Who cares? You lose in the first round. You don't know that.
Well, and thanks for the call. I mean, there are certain ingredients you need to have if you're an 8 seed to be able to make it.
Right.
Goaltending is number one.
Right. And the Wings have a horrible goaltending up until now.
Well, they just made an upgrade.
Right.
Now, they didn't add Martin Brodeur.
No.
Okay, but John Gibson is an upgrade over what they've had.
Correct. So they've slowly made upgrades in each of the past two seasons in goal.
Now, that being said,
slight
I don't
upgrades.
I wouldn't. I mean, if this team make, let's say this team makes the playoffs in an 8 seed, would I have high hopes of them being able to move through there? No.
No.
But did those fan bases, those previous teams that he mentioned, do they have high hopes? Probably not either. 248-539-9797. It's the same number if you wanted to text, and we will read those texts and get to the calls. Mike and others, hang on. We'll get to you in just a couple minutes. And you're at 97.1, the ticket. Quick little sports news bit regarding the Tigers. Chris McCoskey reporting. Sawyer Gibson-Long is going on the IL with neck strain. That's why Tyler Owens is here. Bullpen game today in game one. Tyler Holton is starting the game today, this afternoon. Jack Flaherty will pitch the nightcap. But Sawyer Gibson-Long going on the IL. Don't know how long that's going to be. Neck strain doesn't sound like something that's going to be terribly long. But Reese Olson is poised to come back any second. And thought there was a chance he could get the start for today's game. That's not the case. I looked ahead to see if he's starting at Toledo today or tomorrow, and he doesn't look like that's the case. So perhaps he comes back to this team for the weekend series against Cleveland, or maybe he makes one more start in Toledo before he comes back. Alex Lang is another pitcher to keep an eye on. He did pitch, I believe, last night for Toledo. I think another scoreless inning of work. I can see him coming back to this bullpen real soon, and that would be an upgrade in the bullpen for sure. So keep an eye on that. But another player for the Tigers on the IL. First was Kerry Carpenter, which I'm fine with. I say that because I don't think that's any big injury with the hamstring strain or whatever it is. If it's something that, you know, typically they wouldn't put him on the IL because it's just going to miss a few games, why not use the IL? You've got the All-Star break coming up. Bring him back after the All-Star break. Let him get a couple, 3 weeks of full rest in there to make sure that things are ready to go for the second half or the post-All-Star rest of the season there. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully, because Gibson-Long has pitched okay.
I mean, he's been okay.
I mean, the injuries of the pitching staff, I mean, Job, Olson, that's two of the five.
Yes, but Olson is coming back any second.
I know, but...
But it's, I mean, it's this is different than last year. Where they literally had 1.5 starters for the last 5 weeks of the season. This is different than that. they're still able to manage right now, and they didn't have to go back to the Cater Montero well. He pitched last night for Toledo.
Right.
Five innings of work, gave up one run. But I think that's often going to be something they do in the second half of the season, is bringing him up from time to time, at least until we see what happens at the trade deadline with the Tigers add pitching or not.
Until they bring up the knuckleballer.
Sirwa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in any hurry to see that. Yeah, yeah, right. I'm not in any hurry to see a knuckleballer. It's a gimmick in my mind. It works for a little bit of time, and then everybody catches up to it. We've been talking about the Red Wings, but the Pistons are also top of mind. They have made some moves. Monday was the day of free agency began at 6 o'clock on Monday night, and the Pistons have been somewhat active. They've made some moves, and they've let some players go, which is interesting. You add in the University of Michigan duo of Duncan Robinson and Caris LeVert, and you usher out Schroeder and Tim Hardaway Jr., another Michigan player.
Fontecchio.
Yes, and Fontecchio was on the way out as well. He was part of the sign and trade for Duncan Robinson. And also Malik Beasley.
Yes.
Sounds more and more as more stuff comes out about it.
Do you think
it's beyond the gambling stuff? He's had some real financial issues.
Do they trade Jim Langdon? Do you think they vetted like Caris LeVert and Duncan Robinson to make sure they don't owe their barber $27,000?
Perhaps. Yeah. Hey, do you mind if we take a look at your bank account? Do you?
My Lord, you read some of this stuff.
It's sad. It is. It's sad that somebody who's made $50 million in their career doesn't have the money for a variety.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Variety of reasons. It's not a new tale to tell. It's not the last time this tale will be told. The scary part is that if you're in financial dire straits, and the way out of it that you see is if the gambling aspect is true, that's really sad. And that's the sport can't handle that.
No,
you're just not going to be around in the sport, and rightfully so. But what the Pistons have done. All right, let's throw Malik Beasley aside. It's too bad because Malik Beasley was a slam dunk. Let's sign him to a long-term contract, or at least a three-year or four-year deal. Keep him here. A guy shoots over 40% from the three. Got to have him in the NBA. Well, no one's going to have him in the time being.
Correct.
So it's a loss, but what'd they do? Duncan Robinson can flat-out shoot. He's a three-point specialist, doesn't play a ton of defense. He's got good size, but again, doesn't play a ton of defense. But he can just flat-out shoot. Caris LeVert is a little bit of a catch-all type guard. He can do a lot of things. I don't think he's nothing special, but he's not a nothing burger either. I mean, it's a player you can bring off the bench and he can add something to you.
No, everybody talks about his injuries. That was more earlier in his career. The last three seasons, he's played 74, 68, and 64 games. For last year, he averaged 12 points a game, 37% from three. Career-wise, 13.9, 34% for three.
Yeah, well, when Pistons add players to this team right now, they're not going to crack the starting lineup, and they're not going to get 30 minutes a game,
no.
Even coming off the bench. That's just not going to happen. Duncan Robinson will probably get plenty of minutes because of his shooting ability. But I think the question that I would have about this is coming in and going out, are they better? Duncan Robinson to Caris LeVert over Schroeder and Hardaway Jr. You know, Fontecchio did nothing from last year, so I don't even care.
So
obviously a different issue.
Okay, taking Beasley out of the equation, yes, I believe LeVert and Duncan Robinson are better than Schroeder and Hardaway Jr. for this coming year.
And then adding Chaz Lanier in the draft, another guy who can just flat out shoot, but we don't know in the NBA if he can shoot in the NBA. It's a whole different ballgame when you're playing in the NBA.
Second round pick.
Yeah. Probably not expecting a ton, but if this guy makes the roster and is with the team, does he get minutes? You know, or is he going to get played like Marcus Sasser does? And, you know, who knows? But Duncan Robinson, I think, is a nice addition. But does he effectively just replaces the shooting ability of Malik Beasley. Schroeder and Hardaway. Schroeder played good defense. He added a calming influence on this team down the stretch with his veteran leadership. Hardaway Jr. was pretty good for this team last year as well. I mean, there were times he would take a game over for right. a little bit of stretches there. I'm not thrilled with, I don't know. I like Duncan Robinson. Karis LeVert, I just don't know if that's any. Would I rather have Schroeder or Hardaway Jr. over LeVert? I think I'd rather have Hardaway Jr.
See, I wouldn't.
I don't know.
I think LeVert can do more. Hardaway Jr. might be a better three-point shooter, but I think LeVert can drive to the hole a lot better. They're both average defensively, I believe. And I think LeVert's a little younger. He's 31. I mean, they were teammates at one point, but yeah.
Well, I guess when it comes to guys who can drive, that's what I'm looking at Jaden Ivey.
Yes.
He's healthy. He's going to start the season with this team, we assume. And, okay, get back to what you were, which was this dynamic, penetrating guard.
Look, what this team still needs, in my opinion, they didn't address stretch four.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that still coming?
I don't know. It's like when we talk about the Pistons, talking about the Red Wings. Obviously, the Pistons are a lot closer. They made the playoffs, and you know the East is wide open, and as opposed to you know what the Red Wings have to deal with. You know, are they better than they were going in? That's pretty much the same, I think. And like the Red Wings, they're counting on, you know, Thompson and Holland and Ivy and Durin and these guys getting better.
No, and even Cade.
And I was going to say that. And even Cade getting better. Another year with J.B. Bickerstaff.
Yeah.
So there's hope there. You know, the problem is, even though, you know, Indiana, now they lose Turner and no Halliburton. They obviously aren't going to be as good.
Kind of open here.
It's kind of open, but there are some teams that weren't even that good that got better. Atlanta is going to be really good, I think.
Orlando is
going to
be better.
Yes, because they were just below the Pistons, and that's part of that was because Banchero missed so many games.
Too. I just think there's going to be a ton of competition in the East, mm-hmm. and I don't think the Pistons got worse.
No.
But I don't know if they got better. But I think they'll hold their own. And if they get better, it's going to be because their own young players got better as the season went on.
Correct.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. You want to talk about the Pistons, the Red Wings, Tigers, Lions, whatever's on your mind. Let's get to Mike. He's next up, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
So I'm tired of these general managers, per se, just trying to build dynasties without winning a single championship. You got to win one to build a dynasty. And particularly with Yzerman, does he not realize you have to make the playoffs in order to win a Stanley Cup? There's no other way to get there. And the playoffs have a very good way of highlighting your weaknesses much more, you know, focused than the regular season where we didn't make the playoffs. Well, there's a lot of things that could be bad. But once you get in the playoffs, then you really find out where your problems are.
Well, not only that.
That's true, but I think anybody with good vision could see that with just watching the other teams in the playoffs.
Well, the other thing the playoffs do is the playoffs give you that taste of correct. What the real action is
right,
about.
Right, which you hope the Pistons got
yeah,
this year.
Exactly. And what that can do is it inspires the team. And then you find out which guys, not where your weaknesses are, but maybe what your strengths are, what your potential is, which is where I'd like to see. Now, do I think that Steve Yzerman wanted to make the playoffs? Of course I
yes.
do.
Yes.
I think each of the last 3 years, they had teams that were right there, and they collapsed for whatever reason was. And they need to find out if they could figure it out and what was the actual reason. Something tangible that they can say, oh, it was this or it was this, explain it away and come back stronger next year. Great. But it's 3 years in a row where that happened. I don't think this is intentional by Steve Yzerman. No. I don't think he's, you know, screwing around with this. I think there are limitations to what's been done here. And we're all feeling the frustration here. I imagine he's frustrated, too. But he's the guy in charge. He's the guy that can go ahead and make that move to make this team better if that move is out there. And I think that move is out there. I don't know who the player is, but if it's true that Robertson is available to be had from Dallas, Well, I would hope that he's on the phone with his good buddy Jim Nillen trying to make something happen. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket. Got some ticket texts coming in here. I love the moves the Pistons made the past couple days, but I'd love to ask a basketball person what the Heat saw in Fontecchio to take on his contract to help us out. Thank you, Pat Riley. I would have assumed that we would have given up a couple of seconds at least to take him.
Well, you had to make the money somewhat match.
That's the thing with NBA contracts.
Right.
You got to find that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I do find it strange. 2 years ago, Fontecchio, when the Pistons acquired him, was so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a damn good three-point shooter, had good size. Wow, here we go. Let's look forward to it in 25. And then he was a complete non-factor last year.
Turnover machine. He was not very good.
Couldn't shoot from three anymore. Mm-hmm. Was amazing, the difference 1 year to the next. Let's hope that's not the case with these guys they just got.
I know. By the way, you mentioned you hope there's a trade out there for the Red Wings. I've asked Kenny this too. What would you say if there is a possibility, and I think there's a possibility, I don't know, what would you give up for a guy who is, he's 31 years old. So he's got a little.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
You know, age on them. But the last few years, he's scored, let's see, I'll go for just the last 5 years, 27, 22, 24, 20, 28, and had 31 goals last year, 34 assists for a team that didn't make the playoffs. What would you give up for that person who plays he's a wing?
I mean, it's more than just goal scoring, but I mean, does he block shots? Does he hit? What is he?
He doesn't have a ton of penalty minutes, but he's not a...
Is he a liability on the ice because he doesn't play defense?
He's not a wuss, no. And not that it makes a difference. Does have some local connections. I don't think people even care about that, but I just... What would you give up for Brian Rust? Supposedly, the Penguins are in a rebuild. They want to get younger and do that type of thing. And supposedly, he is available. Would you give up a first-round pick for him?
First-round pick for a team that may or may not make the playoffs, so you might have a shot at the lottery. Might be a little high with a first-round pick, but he's coming off a career season.
Yeah.
And he's been in the league for 11 years, I think. It's his best season. This is a perfect time for him to strike while this iron is hot, I guess. But he's also a minus 21.
Yeah, but I think plus minus is almost an antiquated stat.
It is. I shouldn't say it's antiquated. What I think I think the plus minus stat is you take it with a grain of salt.
Right, because it's usually on crappy teams. Guys have minus, bad plus minuses. You look at some of the great Red Wing teams, you remember guys like, God rest his soul, like Brad McCrimmon at one point when he was like...
The Beast.
Maybe he had a great one. Maybe that was when he was with Philly. But you know what I'm saying. Those guys, Lidstrom, Cousins, they had great plus minus.
Well, those are on great teams, yeah. But yes. They were also... Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I get it. Just for comparison, like Lucas Raymond was minus 15. Alex DeBrincat was minus 13. Dylan Larkin and Patrick Kane were both minus 16.
Right. So last year, he was a plus 10, Rust. So the year before. So, I mean... Yeah, plus minus. It doesn't mean that much to me anymore.
Well, last year was minus 21.
Right, I meant the year before he was.
The year before that, 10. He was plus 10. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I have interest. I don't know what it would take to acquire him. I don't know what his contract status is. I mean, it's a player.
Yeah.
I give you credit for finding a player
who can score goals.
This is true.
Something this team needs.
Well, they need to stop letting the puck in the net, I think, more than anything else.
True.
You know,
well, that's why I mentioned Nate Schmidt. He's a good defenseman.
And where is Nate Schmidt?
Utah.
All right.
Utah. Johnny Utah.
That's different. That's a whole different sport.
I know.
Whole different genre. Peter is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. Hey. Give me one sec. One sec.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I wanted to bring up a couple things, ask you guys two questions. With Larkin's exit interview and him saying the morale was down because they didn't add anybody at the deadline, and with Eiserman's response to that, how do you think the compete level of the Red Wings is going to be with that mentality if they don't add anybody this offseason? And the second question I have is that Larkin speaking for the dressing room, or is that Larkin speaking for the guys in the dressing room being like, hey, you know, we need some help here. We're doing the best we can. We're working our butts off.
I think they're both the same thing as what you said, to be honest with you. But I got no problem with what Larkin said. And if Eiserman took it the wrong way or whatever way he took it, if he wants to be punitive, which I don't think he does, and, you know, trade Larkin, depending how much. Look, Dylan Larkin is a terrific player, but he's not a top 30 player in the National Hockey League.
He's not a superstar player.
Right.
But the player you saw in the Four Nations Cup is the player that you dream about. He was so good.
On a great team.
Yeah.
He was a great third-line player on a great team.
He ended up playing like first-line minutes after a couple of games because of the way he just flourished in that system there on that team. Yes, it was a much better team, obviously. I like Dylan Larkin a lot. I don't know if he was speaking for the room or if he was speaking for himself or if he didn't think that his comments were going to resonate the way that they did. I don't know. In hindsight, I kind of wish that thing was behind closed doors with he and Eiserman. They could have it out that way as opposed to airing it out in public because it looked like Steve was very prickly about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just leads to speculation is what it does. And nobody, I don't want the speculation. Either you go on with him or you go on without him. As far as what happens this summer, if they don't do anything, how could you not have the exact same feeling? I'm with him. I mean, unless you're going to be all excited and get the PR machine going about John Gibson, the goaltender, which I don't think that's what you do. I wouldn't put an all-out assault on that, but it is an interesting take. If they don't do anything more, which I suspect, again, I do suspect that they'll do something more. There's too much cap space to hang on to not do something. If they don't, though, how could you not have the same feel about that? Yeah, we were a little bummed that things didn't work out. You know, we were a little disappointed that we didn't make that move at the trade deadline. And it goes one of two ways, right? I mean, you have that or they didn't do anything. One team took it as instilling confidence in the team. Who was in the playoffs last year? They kept talking about it. Was it Montreal?
Right.
They were all excited because, hey, please don't send anybody out. We got this, you know, and then they bet on the players. They didn't make the moves to the trade deadline and they made that push and it worked for them to a point.
And what did they do this offseason?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
And then they make some moves in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Well, free agent wise or whatever, or trade wise.
Yeah.
You can make some moves. So I think it's an interesting point to bring up. It's kind of relevant. Not seeing it here to this point, but again, we are less than 24 hours into the free agency period.
Correct.
I think when we talk about the Pistons' additions and subtractions from last season, we include Ivy to the addition side since he was gone for most of the season last year. Well, about half the year. So we lose Schroeder, Beasley, and Hardaway Jr. We gain LeVert, Robinson, and Ivy. It's a decent start to adding, but we still need a backup big man, in my opinion, an upgrade over Beef Stew. I think we're all in agreement. I think we need to see another big man.
They need a stretch four, and they need Jalen Duren. I don't know if he's capable of doing this on a consistent basis. You need Jalen Duren to figure out a way to score the ball beyond 5 feet. In today's NBA, you have to be able to shoot a little bit.
Well, or just
big guy.
Use that athleticism and score more. Be more assertive when you get the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I just see more shots go in. I mean, it'd be nice if you had developed a 10-foot jump shot.
Right.
It'd be great. But and I've been a big advocate of the whole Jaden Ivey thing and looking at this team, because look at the team that was in the playoffs, the team that took the Knicks to the brink, that should have won the series. They got gypped out of one game. It would have put a big advantage for the Pistons. They got gypped out of that. Would they have beaten the Celtics? Could they have taken, you know, Indiana to the brink? I don't know. But it was a team that advanced, or should have advanced in the playoffs without Jaden Ivey. So, yeah, I do look at that, and I do think that's an addition. And it's a reason why I'm a little optimistic about the Pistons, with having this team grow together with Asar Thompson and Ronnie Holland. I think those guys can take big leaps in the next season to really improve as well. But it doesn't help the lack of a big man. That's a problem.
Right. I mean, look, it's great that they brought back, what's his face?
Reed.
Yeah, Paul Reed. I mean, B-ball Paul. He's a really good third string center.
Maybe I'm too old school when it comes to the NBA and basketball. I don't think you need to keep searching for that unicorn big man that can step beyond the arc and knock down 3-point shots. I don't think you have to.
No.
You've got enough guys in your team to do that. That's fine.
But they don't.
What I'd like to see is just a rim protector, a guy who can grab at least 10 rebounds a game, play some pretty good defense, keep the other team honest in front of you, and who's going to be able to be offensively not a liability when you give the ball in deep. He doesn't have to be a huge part of the offense, but I think it has to be a huge part of your defense.
Yeah, but you can still be better offensively without talking threes. That's what I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Shoot a 10-footer. So when he gets the ball, he becomes a threat that they have to pay attention to him defensively, and then he's a very good passer too.
Then there's this. Let's not forget, when talking about the Pistons, that every single player in our young core has barely scratched the surface of their potential. We're going to get so much better simply based off linear growth. Would hope so.
Yes, that's
the hope.
I think
in large part, I mean, somebody may not pan out, right? But more often than not, they should. They should improve year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a lot of guys that are in year, ready to enter year two or year three, let alone you got 4 and 5. And one of those guys is a budding superstar for sure. 248-539-9797, the telephone number. You want to talk about the Pistons, the Red Wings, the moves that have been made, the moves that have not been made.
Gator, I'm going to make you happy about the Tigers, too.
Are you pointing at me?
Yes, I am.
Don't do that.
In a good way, though.
I don't know if that's a good way.
Okay.
Don't point. It's rude. Stoney's going to try to make me happy about the Tigers. Well, I'm pretty happy about the Tigers to begin with. Let's see if I can get happier. 97-1, the ticket. All right, so the Tigers are in Washington for 3 games against the Nationals. Doubleheader today. The game was rained out last night. We'll have the coverage beginning in less than an hour right here on 97.1 The Ticket. The first game will be an opener. Tyler Holton will start for the Tigers. The opener has not been a good strategy this year for the Tigers. They haven't had the greatest results with that. Last year was phenomenal results.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's unfair because we hold it to that standard, what we saw, running it all the way into the playoffs. But tonight they'll have Jack Flaherty going at it, and hopefully Jack Flaherty is back on track. Jack, please be good. And it's actually a tough pitching matchup. The pitcher he's going against, 3-8 on the season, but his ERA is like 3.09, and his WHIP is 1.20, and that's Mackenzie Gore. Ton of strikeouts. 129 strikeouts in 99 innings. So he's pitched pretty well, but unfortunately for a team that's not very good, 35-49. Fortunately, it's against the Tigers, and the Tigers can hopefully take advantage. You said you've got something that is going to make me happy.
I think so. The Tigers' magic number, Gator, is 77 to win the division. So I got
I'm already laughing.
Okay.
We already have a magic number watch.
But here is, they did not play yesterday, as you mentioned.
No.
Cleveland did. They lost. So the Tigers picked up a game. So the Tigers right now lead the division by 12 games. And they haven't played a game in July yet, the Tigers. They will in about an hour. Worst case scenario, okay? And I'm giving you a crazy worst case scenario. Let's say the Tigers, for some reason, finish at 500, which would mean for them to go at 500, they'd have to go 28-49 the rest of the way. There's no way that's happening. Correct?
I would hope not. Okay. I will never say no way because right, we saw what happened in Minnesota last year.
Okay. Cleveland, because they're the next closest team, if the Tigers did go 81-81, Cleveland would have to, you know, they could do it, go five games over 500 to get to 82-80. I mean, the Tigers, even if they played at 500 the rest of the way, and I haven't even done that math for their, you know, 77 games left, so they 38-39. The other teams would have to play like 700 ball to catch them, approximately.
It's an uphill battle for sure for teams to get there, and I understand that's the whole math of it. And yeah, I get it. They're having an amazing season at this point.
Yeah, and look, everybody tries to compare this team to a certain extent to 06, right?
Yeah,
that team folded at the end and didn't even win the division. So I preface what I'm about to say, but also compounded by the fact that I am not usually accurate in a lot of my prognostications. I mean, look, the division's over. I mean, they won the division. I'm not saying they have to print T-shirts yet or have a banner-raising ceremony, but I just, even though I'm one of those who sees flaws in this team, they are by far the best team in this division.
They're the best team in baseball.
I know, worried about this division right now. They are the best team in this division, and that's why I can confidently say, yes, even Mr. Negative here, that it's over. The division's over.
Well, I don't feel comfortable with you saying that believe it. Because, well, there's that. You've got a little bit of a record, and I don't like the jinx factor in it. I think this team is, obviously, they're playing great baseball. The stats bear it out. The history bears it out. The lead that they have in their division is the biggest lead that anybody's had in the division at this point since, the 99 Cleveland Indians, if I'm not mistaken. I thought I saw that stat last night. They are doing incredible things. And they're doing it with a roster that actually might be quite all-star laden when all is said and done, given that, 6.5 minutes away here from phase two concluding. We could have three starters in the all-star game plus Tarek Skubal and maybe even some more all-stars added on when all is said and done. But that's what happens when you have a first-place team. And yet it feels like outside of Tarek Skubal, they don't have a superstar. Riley Green is pushing the envelope to be called and be in that conversation of a superstar. He's having a hell of a season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to watch. And you start to get to that territory. Like, okay, the 06 team had some really good players on it. And it had a lot of veteran players on that team. And people like and Justin Verlander. Verlander was a rookie that year, and he was good, wasn't great. Not yet. The pitching staff on that team that went to the World Series was not special.
Well, Kenny Rogers had a really good season.
Kenny Rogers was good. But wasn't special. It wasn't like he was having a Skubal year.
No.
And Verlander wasn't Verlander at that point. Nate Robertson was,
Jeremy Bonderman was on that team.
Yeah. It was not a special rotation. But the offense looked pretty good. And yet that was still before they added Miguel Cabrera.
It was before they got Sheffield the following year. They
got Sheffield the following year. Didn't go anywhere.
Do you remember how good they were at 07 until he got hurt? And then he got hurt and they just all went to crap.
And then they traded for Cabrera after the 07 season.
Right. And 08 started. Was not very good either.
No.
Then they got it together.
But things changed. But they had superstars in those teams that we really enjoyed for that 10-year stretch of fun baseball. This seems more sustainable, what they've done. With a true ace, maybe the best pitcher in all of baseball, in Tarek Skubal, and other players that are really, kind of coming into their own. Certainly Riley Green, and they've got a handful of other players. And then they went out and acquired players that are making a difference on this team, like Gleyber Torres, who's probably going to be announced as an all-star in the next 10 minutes, which would be awesome. The excitement that people have about the prospects on this team. MLB.com just came out with a reorganized top 100 prospect list. I think there are five Tigers that are in the top 90 on that list, including two in the top 12, with McGonigal and Clark that are probably going to be promoted to Double A any minute.
After the Futures game, probably.
Right, because they deserve to be. They've had, I mean, with certainly Kevin McGonigal, he's got like an 1,100 OPS. He's hitting, I think, 381 last I checked going into today. So there's reason to be excited about what the Tigers have going. It's not manufactured. It's legitimate. And we see, yes, this team is going through some injuries. They've gone through injuries the whole year. They started the season hurt, and guys stepped up. Who's going to play center field? Hey, Javi, can you take some fly balls? Yeah, I'll try it out. Always wanted to. And he ends up playing what is ending up being all-star caliber outfield play from Javi Baez. And now that Parker Meadows is back, who's a true legitimate gold glove contender, Javi can go back to playing shortstop, where he is also a gold glove contender. But Javi's having this crazy year that nobody saw coming. And is it just all attributed to having the surgery on the hip, having the time off, readjusting? You maybe, can't ignore it.
Maybe.
Can't ignore it, but whatever. I like this baseball team so much, and there's a lot of young players are growing together here on this team, and Dylan Dingler emerging this year as well. It's a lot of fun to watch this team, and I feel like this is something that's sustainable for years to come because of the prospects that will come through, because they haven't even really scratched the surface of going to the resources of the money that they can spend on players, which once the team gets good, they said they spend, and they did. They brought in Gleyber Torres. They brought Jack Flaherty back. They went out and got some other players. They tried to get Bregman. After they had already signed Canely and all these other players, they'd already made all their signings and yes. Then tried to bring in Bregman. So thinking that that's going to still be the formula moving forward, why wouldn't it be? 248-539-9797 is the telephone number you want to talk. Red Wings, Pistons, Tigers, heck, Lions, you want to bring them up? We can do that too. We can also have some fun, which we're going to coming up at 12:05 right here on 97.1 The Ticket.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.